Good morning and God bless you. Well, here we are in our fifth week during this virus as having our broadcast here and live streaming out. And hopefully you've been enjoying these messages on our YouTube and all of that and listening to good stuff online. There's plenty out there. Praise the Lord for that. Let's go to Him in prayer, and we're going to turn back to 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Heavenly Father, take this message that you have given in the first century and make it so relevant for us in the 21st century and for any time to all lives that would hear this, see this, know this, that read these verses, Lord, or hear this message, Lord. Speak, for your servants listen. Give us ears to hear that we may be like Jesus said, him that has ears to hear, let him hear. This we pray in his name. Amen. I'm going to read 2 Corinthians 1, verses 3 through 11. And we're going to look specifically at verse 10 today. And we'll title today's message, On Him, that is God, On Him we have set our hope. And I want you to listen carefully today and apply this. I'm going to apply this several different ways to show you that our hope is not just in the future, not just what happened in the past, but hope for right now that anchors us and guides us. 2 Corinthians 1, we'll refer, well, you'll hear me use verse 10, use all the verses up to it to relate it to you. It all goes together. God's Word says the same thing over and over and over again, just in different contexts and different ways. It speaks to all of life, even when it feels like death. 2 Corinthians 1, verse 3, Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our affliction, so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction, with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. For as we share abundantly in Christ's sufferings, so through Christ we share abundantly in comfort too. If we are afflicted, it's for your comfort and salvation. And if we're comforted, it's for your comfort, which you experience when you patiently endure the same sufferings that we suffer. Our hope for you is unshaken. For we know that as you share in our sufferings, you will also share in our comfort. For we do not want you to be unaware, brothers, of the affliction we experienced in Asia. For we were so utterly burdened beyond our strength that we despaired of life itself. Indeed, we felt that we had received the sentence of death. But that was to make us rely not on ourselves, but on God, who raises the dead. He delivered us from such a deadly peril, and He will deliver us. On Him we have set our hope that He will deliver us again. You also must help us by prayer, so that many will give thanks on our behalf for the blessing granted us through the prayers of many. On Him we have set our hope. Hope is essential to life. Without hope, your joy gets smothered. Your energy is empty. You have no motivation, and you're frozen with fear. I'm sure you've had that happen to you. We all know that you need hope. It's good to have hope. And we all have greater hopes and lesser hopes. Our greater hope in the moment is we hope that this coronavirus stops the spread and that we're able to go back to school and go back to church and, well, maybe not school, go back to church and go back to our jobs and society be and hug our grandkids, all these things. And our lesser hopes may be like, I hope I can have a burrito this evening while I'm on my diet. I don't mean to make light of things, but you know how it is in life. We all have greater hopes and lesser hopes. And it's good to have hope. And everyone has something that is their ultimate hope. And many people haven't even thought about that or discovered that or tried to imagine what that is and what that does for their life. Now, easily you can just say, well, it's Jesus. Well, yes. But let me ask you a question. First, what is your ultimate hope? And then, how does that ultimate hope shape and guide your other hopes? Because many people think of Jesus and Christianity and that's their ultimate hope, but it doesn't seem to guide or anchor, shape how they live their lives. They know it's supposed to in some way, but they think it means just do this and don't do that. We're going to talk about that today. This will be entirely relevant. What happened to Paul in the first century matters for us all in the 21st century. Now, continuing on from verse 9, where he said, We don't trust on ourselves, but on God who raises the dead. He continues this theme of God who raises the dead. And he says, The power of God who raises the dead is continually at work in a believer's life. You see it right there in the text in verse 10. His hope, our hope in Him, anchors us, guides us in the past, the present, and the future. Our ultimate hope is in Him, and our daily hope, our life should be in Him. So let's look at this text and dissect it, examine it, and apply it. First, we see hope in the past. It says, He delivered us from such a deadly peril. And remember, Paul was talking in verses 3 through 9 about what he had been going through. And he had been delivered from the life-threatening affliction that he had faced. And he had come to the end of himself and his own strength, and he relied, as verse 3 says, on the Father of mercies and God of all comfort alone. He had learned to do that. He felt like he was going to die, and he knew the only one who could save him from death was God who raises the dead. So what do we need to do? We need to do like Paul and look back and remember times where God brought you through afflictions. What is it during this virus that you've been praising God for, that He delivered you from something that you thought you were going to have to deal with or you were dealing with, and now He's brought you through that? Or in your life, maybe you're just become a Christian. You think, well, He's delivered me from sin and transferred me into the kingdom of His Son, and He delivered my soul from hell, and now I'm going to heaven. Yes, go back. Remember the times that He has delivered you. Hope from the past. In the past, you had it. And then remind yourself that God is bringing you through every and any affliction to His eternal kingdom. Hope in the past, but it's also hope in the present. Paul was using this saying, I was delivered out of this, but let me tell you what that does for me now, what you need to do now. And he says, and He will deliver us. This is a present tense thing. Paul's saying that whatever he may be going through, the God who raises the dead, who had delivered in the past, will one day, in some way or another, deliver him, whether by life or by death. And it's not just all about death. You know, you are on the deliverance train. God is a deliverer, no matter what that deliverance may look like. It may not look the way that we want to, but it's actually for our good. Think about those three young men who wouldn't bow down to the golden statue of the Babylonian king. Let me read from Daniel 3, verse 16 through 18. You know the names. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to answer you in this matter. If this be so, our God, whom we are able to serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and He will deliver us out of your hand, O king. But if not, be known to you, O king, that we will not serve your gods or worship the golden image that you have set up. They were saying they are going to be delivered, whether it's by life or by death. He can deliver us in life, and that's what He did. But even if He wasn't going to do that, He was going to deliver them from His tyranny, even through death. And life has a lot of tyranny and a lot of things going on and a lot of trouble. But God, delivering you in the present, it may look like life, it may look like death. I know we want life, we're going to talk about that. But Paul had said, God has delivered us, and He will deliver us. It's a present tense God. Think of the Apostle Paul at the end of his life. He thought he was going to die here in 2 Corinthians, but then he realized that was to have him learn another lesson about depending on God. But at the end of his life, in 2 Timothy, the last book that he wrote, he says, I've finished the race. I've run the good race. I've fought the fight. I've fought the good faith. I've had this. I've done this. And now it's time for me to be offered up. And he says in 2 Timothy, chapter 4, he knows he's about to die. And yet he still had hope. Think about that. He knew he was still being delivered. I want you to focus on that today. He was still being delivered even by death. 2 Timothy 4:18, the Lord will rescue me from every evil deed and bring me safely into His kingdom. To Him be the glory forever and ever. Amen. He was about to die and he knew it. He was about to get his head cut off. And he said, the Lord will deliver me from every evil deed. Wait a minute. How can he say that? This is how. He knew he was still being delivered. That his time had come to an end on earth, and that he was going to come to the Lord. You see, what Paul experienced here in 2 Corinthians 1, he's relating to us that he had learned how to face death without fear. Hebrews 2, 14 and 15 says this, Jesus died to destroy the power of death, and he delivered you from being a slave to the fear of death. Now, think about this. The same God that delivered Paul is delivering you. The same God that brought him out of that life peril, that so burdened beyond our strength, we received the sentence of death, we felt like dying, we wanted to die. That same God that delivered Paul was delivering him and did deliver him, and he is delivering you. He has delivered you. He is delivering you. He will deliver you. Yes. You don't have to fear death. And you don't have to fear life. Now you can say, like Paul did in Philippians 1, 19 through 21, "For I know that through your prayers," looks like verse 11 of 2 Corinthians 1, doesn't it? "That through your prayers and the help of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, this will turn out for my deliverance, as it is my eager expectation and hope that I will not be at all ashamed, but that with full courage, now as always, Christ will be honored in my body, whether by life or by death. For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." Hope in the past, hope for the present, and hope for the future. Look again at verse 10. He says, "He will deliver us again. He delivered us from such a deadly peril," hope in the past. "He will deliver us," hope for the present. "He will deliver us again," hope for the future. Paul knows that in the future, God who raises the dead, the same God who delivered in the past, the same God who is delivering him in the present, will one day deliver him to forever. Galatians 1:4 says that Jesus gave himself for our sins to deliver us from the present evil age. 1 Thessalonians 1:10 says that Jesus delivers us from the wrath to come. No matter what may happen, the final word of your earthly life will not be destruction. It will be deliverance. Everybody thinks, well, ash to ashes, dust to dust, and all of that, and they use Bible verses, but they think this is it. But the final word, Christian, of your earthly life will not be destruction. It'll be deliverance. The truth of your eternal destiny must anchor your thinking about the future. Now you go, well, you know, I know where I'm going when I die. I appreciate you saying that. It's good to have reminders of that. But you said hope in the present. Well, let me apply that for you right now. No matter what happens in your world, your whole life is an act of God's deliverance. And He's the ultimate mailman. You might get bumps and bruises on that, but that stamp is still on you. You're still going to make your destination. He is delivering you. He delivered you out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. He's delivering you little by little, redeeming your life, changing your habits, changing your thoughts, making you want to. And even when you step back, He's right behind you, giving you a little nudge forward. Through the church, through His Word, through prayer, by the power of the Holy Spirit, He is delivering you. Yield to that. And of course, He will deliver you. Your eternal destiny has got to anchor. You have to live for today by having an eye for tomorrow. But it's not just tomorrow as in the future kingdom, but His kingdom in your future. He's living through you. He is delivering you. You see the evidence of that when you got saved. You see the evidence of that when you see someone else get saved. When you are watching this right now. When you want to pray. When you're praying to God. You're praising God. You're worshiping God. You're thinking about God. Telling your children about God. Telling your spouse about God. Telling anybody about God, about Jesus Christ. You're proving that you're being delivered. And you're trying to get everybody else on the delivery train. Amen? We're being delivered. We have been delivered, we are being delivered, and we will be delivered. Our ultimate hope, right there in the text, on Him, we have set our hope. It's wise to put your hope in God who raises the dead. He's worthy of your hope, and He will vindicate that hope, past, present, and future. Now, He may allow you. Now, you know what I want you to do? Look at verses 3 through 9 as I kind of go through them here. He may allow you into situations where you're so utterly burdened beyond your strength, where you feel like you've received the sentence of death. But that's to make you rely not on yourself, but on God who raises the dead. And in your all your affliction, God's children will know Him as the Father of mercies and God of all comfort. And as we share abundantly in Christ's suffering, so through Christ we abundantly share in comfort too. You know what Paul's doing here to them in the church of Corinth and all the people that received that letter, including us today? Paul was telling us that what happened to him is going to happen to you. Isn't that good news? That God comforts us in all our affliction so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. That's why you can tell other believers that our hope for you is unshaken. For we know that as you share in our sufferings, you will also share in our comfort. The Bible constantly and consistently tells all of us that our God is a God of deliverance. Your call as a Christian is not only to set your hope on God, but to proclaim the truth of deliverance just like the Apostle Paul did and was doing. You can say, He delivered us from such a deadly peril, and He will deliver us. On Him we have set our hope that He will deliver us again. The God of deliverance has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of His beloved Son. Colossians 1:13. And He gives us hope for every stage. He gives you hope for every stage of your life. Not just the future, not just the past, but right now. You know, as time passes by, goes by, and we're in this situation longer and longer, people lose hope. But Christians can have an ever-increasing hope. And then one day hope will die because we won't need it. And disappointment will die. And everything else but life with Jesus will die. And we'll have eternal life with Him. And we are one day closer to that day. Every day, although our outer man is wasting away, inwardly our new man is being renewed day by day. And our hope can be increasing even as our life seems to be decreasing. Paul was a true apostle. He was teaching the truth about deliverance with his life example. Let me say some things about deliverance very quickly. Deliverance is not about avoidance. I was delivered from that because you avoided it. Deliverance is really not just about escape. I got out of that. Woo! Delivered. Well, yay. Amen. But you know, it's something beyond that. Not just avoidance, not just escape. Deliverance is about perspective. Relying on God no matter what. God's triumph transcends our troubles and transforms our lives. He is our ultimate hope. So keep your hopes up. Teaching the truth with your life. Even when the hand, the hard hand of God's providence is on you, His loving hand of His presence is also on you. So keep praying that He would lift the burden and deliver you from the situation. Yes. But rejoice in who God is and who you are in Him. Even as you lament that you're in a difficult circumstance and you hope for something better. Keeping your hopes up doesn't mean that you look forward to hard times with nothing but happiness. Yay, all these hard times. Yay, happiness. No, that's just denying reality. See, Christianity isn't denying reality, although there's some branches and people in Christianity that seem to be saying that. Just do this and you'll never have any trouble. God doesn't do that at all. He's a delivering God. Through the troubles. Not always out. Ultimately that way. But are you trusting Him even though you're in? Even though you're staying in? That's where your hope needs to be. In who God is and who you are to Him. Keeping your hopes up isn't just a positive mental attitude either. It's far more than that. You know there's going to be trouble at times. We're all living in it now. But you know God has a good purpose in this. Even if you don't know what it is. The answer of why is just I am. And even if God leaves you in that hard situation, He's still your deliverer and He's worth hoping in. He's in complete control, and you need to let that truth anchor and guide your life. Friends, life is hard. Everybody wears that t-shirt. Everybody owns the company. Life is hard. And it's okay to come to God with your anxieties, your doubts, your fears, your laments, your weakness. It's not only okay, it's good, and it's right, and it's what God wants you to do. But you know 1 Peter 5:7, it says, cast all your cares on Him because He cares for you. He's not saying you're supposed to throw at Him in disgust. I'm going to cast my care on you. God, you deal with it. I can't. This is ridiculous. I can't worship you like this. That's not setting your hope on Him. Casting your cares on Him doesn't mean throwing it at Him in disgust or your preacher or your friends who's just trying to help you. It means you're supposed to give them to Him in faith, saying, You are God. You do this with what You will. You are the potter. I am the clay. I am the vessel. Fill me, Lord. Break me open and show the powers of God. So let me ask you, what's sapping your strength today? What's bringing you doubt today? Is it your job? Is it your business? Is it your marriage? Is it your children? Those are normal things, and then it gets exacerbated by this virus. Is it the virus? Are you in fear that you don't want to get out in society? Or are you just acting foolish and thinking, it doesn't matter? What's going on? What's being challenged in your faith right now? What are you hoping to be delivered from? God is your deliverer. Set your hope on Him. Have faith. And let me say this plainly. It isn't faith that things will go back to normal, or faith that the situation will absolutely get better. It's faith in who God is and who you are to Him. He is the Almighty, and you are His child. And He's promised that all things, the good things, and yes, even the bad things. See, isn't that great? People that go around saying, oh, it's not going to happen. It's demonstrably untrue. But this is demonstrably true. Christians know this. The good things and even the bad things are going to work together for your good and His glory to make you more like Jesus. Your ultimate hope should anchor and guide all of your other hopes. I've lost about 25 pounds. I'm hoping to lose about 25 more. But even if that doesn't happen, what God is doing in my life is delivering me now. It anchors what I do. I don't have hope that I'm going to be skinny again. My ultimate hope isn't that, you know, I can wear my size 30 jeans again. My hope isn't that I'm going to live forever, although I am somewhere, and so are you. What is your ultimate hope? Is it that job? Is it money? You're saying, but I don't have... I'm trusting in Jesus, JD, but I don't know what to do with now. Listen to this message again. Realize what Paul is saying about hope in the past, hope for the present, and hope for the future, and how they all tie together with the God who raises the dead. You see, believers in Jesus Christ share the same unshakable hope because we have an unshakable God who says, once more and I'll shake everything so that which cannot be shaken will remain. Are you on the solid rock? My hope is unshaken, and my hope for you, Riverside Christian Fellowship, Christians of the world, past, present, and future, my hope for you is unshaken, because nothing can change God's Word, God's love, God's plan, God's purpose, and God's promise to us. That's our ultimate hope in God who raises the dead. Friends, I hope that you connect with this message today. And I can tell you, without doubt, in full faith and no fear, that I'll see you again. I'll see you right here, out there, or in the air. God bless you.